Welcome to Res Talk, your source for the latest insights, trends, news, and resources from leaders in the building performance and rating world. Here's your host, a committed building science enthusiast and registered professional engineer, and the podfather of energy efficiency, Bill Spohn.
Hello and welcome back to the Res Talk podcast. It's our goal here at Res Talk to communicate late-breaking news and thoughtful insights about the vast array of topics in the rapidly expanding world of residential energy ratings to all the stakeholders in the ResNet ecosystem. So whether you're a housing consumer, rater, builder, realtor, or appraiser, you want to hear more about the evolving trends in home energy ratings. Today, on today's podcast, we welcome Charla Reed, lead instructor at Energy Smart Institute, and Emily Kuppernell-Glitch, who's the VP of Programs at Performance Systems Development. And we focus on the recognition of women in the HERS, the home energy rating system, the HERS industry. Charla shares her extensive background, beginning with founding an energy auditing company in 1979, which evolved into a HERS rating company, and subsequently into roles in quality assurance and training within the industry. She emphasizes her company's impact and the shift she has observed towards greater female involvement in this sector. Emily details her journey in the industry, from initial interest in science and residential energy to her current role as Vice President at Performance Systems Development. Emily discusses the challenges she faced as a woman in the field, including overcoming assumed biases and the importance of establishing credibility. She reflects on the changing landscape for women in the industry, noting improvements, and shared a personal anecdote illustrating past gender assumptions. Our conversation concludes with advice for women entering the industry, highlighting the importance of continuous learning, self-trust, and getting outside one's comfort zone. Both guests underline the evolving nature of the industry, noting an increase in female participation and the growing list of role models, and also encouraging more women to join. They stress the value of diversity and the need for different perspectives in building science and energy efficiency, illustrating the industry's ongoing transformation and the significant contributions of women. Also in the show notes are links to Charla and Emily's LinkedIn profiles, along with a press release from ResNet's inaugural class recognizing women pioneers in the HERS industry. It's a little article and some photographs and a list of women who were recognized at the 2023 ResNet conference held in San Diego. So let's get into the podcast and listen to Charla and Emily talk about from audits to advocacy, trailblazing women in energy efficiency. Very pleased today to have two guests, two people I've known for a number of years, Charla Reed and Emily Kuppernell-Glitch. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks, Bill. Happy to be here.
Hi, Bill. Doing good.
We're talking about the recognition of women in the ResNet world, the HERS rating industry, and how instrumental they play is in terms of being business owners, raters, providers, and trainers. And I think we have a little bit of each mixed into your personalities here, but I think it'd be great to start off. We'll start with Charla. Give us some of your background. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the work you do.
Okay. Hi, I'm Charla Reed, and I started an energy auditing company back in 1979, which then grew into a HERS rating company with several employees out doing HERS ratings. From there, I transitioned into being a rating quality assurance provider so I could get more rating companies set up in our area because we didn't have enough. Then I transitioned into being a training provider. So I've fit all of those roles you just talked about through the years.
So what area do you work from and what's the name of your company?
My company is named Energy Smart Institute, and we're out of Kansas City, Missouri.
Very good. You've functioned in all those roles, and you're currently in the training provider role?
Yes, I'm currently in the training provider role, and I also do a lot of training for non-ResNet activities for the International Codes Council, our local codes officials. I do a lot of work on international codes boards and teams as well.
Thank you. Emily, give us a little background on yourself, please.
I work for Performance Systems Development, or PSD. I've been with this company for about 20 years, which doesn't seem possible to me. And how I got into this industry, I've always had a passion for science and nature. I guess my degree is in physics and math. And when I was in college, I did a couple independent studies on residential power and electricity. And my thesis was on wind turbines for residential energy use. So very much interested in this industry, however we define this industry, from an early age. And I did some work at Cornell for a while. And at that point, I realized that I wasn't looking to stay in academia. And it was around that time that I met my mentor and life coach, Ethan McCormick, who told me about the company that he worked for. And they were looking at houses and insulating them. And I thought, yeah, that sounds good. How does the physics and math in a house work? And I've been here ever since. I'm currently vice president of our programs. We implement state and utility programs for both new and existing construction. Single and multifamily, we do QA/QC services for weatherization programs. We're involved quite heavily in code work right now, and we have a new homes division. And as part of that new homes division, we operate a third-party ResNet provider group that has a little over 150 members across the country. We're also an accredited training provider. We develop and deliver Raider training and Energy Star training independently and in partnership with the Northeast HERS Alliance. I think I might still be a certified Raider and ResNet trainer and QAD, but I have to say I am relying on other experts in the area at this point, getting out of practice.
We'll stick with you for a second. Tell us if there's been any obstacles as a woman in this field. We'll go back to Charlotte for that in a second, but Emily, tell us what you've encountered, anything.
I was thinking about that ever since I was asked to be on this podcast, actually, and it's not something I think about regularly, like my obstacles specifically as a woman. I do know early on when I was presenting at some of the first ResNet conferences and going into homes and inspecting homes, also a few of my coaches and mentors would often say, you need to credential yourself, Emily. Make sure upfront you're telling people. This need to make sure people understood that I knew what I was talking about. And I think that was based on probably assumed biases at the time, that as a young woman, it wouldn't be assumed that I knew what I was talking about as much as maybe it would be otherwise. And also was challenging for me because at the time, and maybe still was hard, I think this might be a similarity among some women, hard to sing your own praises or say you're good at something or you understand something in front of an audience. So I think that was challenging and a useful thing for me to get comfortable with.
Would you say that is there been any trend along that spectrum where it's the challenges, do they still pop up? Are they less frequent? About the same?
I would say I'm less aware of them. Maybe if they are still there, it doesn't feel like a daily barrier for me, but I'm aware that there are still assumptions out there. One story that I like to tell very early on in my career with PSD, when I was doing more home performance work, I was doing a lot of home audits and low-income weatherization audits for BPI and then got into ResNet. There was a home performance conference in upstate New York that I went to, and they had a contest to see who could set up a blower door kit accurately and quickest. And so they had three lines and people would line up and they had the frames. And I won that competition. And someone came up to me afterward and said, does PSD train all of its secretaries on how to operate the blower door? And such an honest, genuine, confused question. And it was one of those times when you realize, oh, wow, there are these ingrained assumptions sometimes. But in my work now on a day-to-day basis with folks in my company, with people in the industry, and with our clients, I feel like it doesn't really come up.
Wow, that's quite a story.
We've moved past it pretty good, I think.
Charlotte, since your experience goes back further in time, maybe your story is a little different.
My story, actually, I did experience quite a bit of surprise from the industry many times. And I started my company, like I said, back in 1979. And I actually come from a long line of women entrepreneurs. And my mom had several companies. I worked for my grandma. I worked for my great aunt. I worked for my aunt. And so I knew I was going to start a company. And I started that energy auditing company. And my first employee I hired was my husband because he was an energy auditor. So we would go places. We'd be talking and discussing the company. I'd be trying to bring on new clients. And they would immediately assume that my husband was the boss. All the questions were directed at him. All of the information was directed at him. And he would very politely tell people that Charla's in charge. Charla is the boss. You need to talk to her. I don't have any say in any of this. So there was some of that to get around. And then when I started as a resident HERS rater and working in new construction with my rating company, I was the only woman in the job site many, many times. I was the only woman there. And there was a few comments of, hey, girly, what do you know? But they very quickly learned that I did know what I was talking about. And I just developed a thick skin. And I learned that education is key. Once you're just stating the facts and explaining things to people and explaining the physics of the situation, then all of a sudden, everything shifts very quickly. And now you're the expert and everyone's asking you questions. And they don't care what gender you are. But I agree with Emily that as time has gone by, that has become less and less of an issue. I've seen more and more women in the industry. I gave a training class on the 2021 IECC just last week, and there were more women in the room than I have ever seen in a training class for that before. And I was very thrilled to see them all there because usually there's just one or two, and this was almost half the room. So more and more women are discovering that construction is a really good industry, that energy efficiency is a good industry to be in, that building science is a career path that keeps on giving, and you can keep learning, you can keep growing, and it's a very lucrative and exciting place to be right now.
That's great. And it's also rewarding in your thesis there.
It is extremely rewarding, yes.
For both the individual, the person you're working with, and society as a whole. And that's all we're part of why we're here, to change things, I think, in every way possible. Continue with that, Charla. Is there anything you do in your company, either inwardly inside your company or outwardly the way you project to your customers and clientele, that you think helps draw women into this field?
I believe that when people are taking our training and seeing that it's me up there providing this expertise, they see a woman in this position doing this kind of work, that opens up the doors and opens up the eyes. Because I've had several people say, I think this would be good for my sister. This would be good for my wife. This would be good for, I didn't know women were doing these kind of things. And I chuckle and say, oh yeah, we fit through the attic scuttle holes a whole lot better than some of the men. So a lot of it is just being able to see someone in that kind of position and doing this kind of work that all of a sudden opens up the eyes and opens the doors for other women to be doing it. We do encourage young women to become HERS raters and to move forward in this industry. I think we actually have the record for the youngest certified HERS rater through our training class. That she was certified just before she turned 17. And she's now owned her own company for a couple decades and is growing like crazy, hiring people and doing extremely well. So we'd like to show examples and share with people that, yes, you can do this. And yes, you can do quite well at it.
Would you feel comfortable making a shout out by name?
Sure. That's a shout out to Krissa Miller of Central Energy Audits in Kansas City, Missouri.
Fantastic. So she's local or close to you?
Yes, she is local. We sort of adopted her and kept her under our wing, and she feels free. All my students are free to contact me at any time with any questions, because I'm all about education and I really want to expand the work that we do. It's very important to me that the whole energy efficiency and tackling global warming and taking care of our environment and our people on this planet is just something that I think needs to be done. And I've been in it for so long now, I feel that my job is to continue to train and pass on that knowledge so that the knowledge doesn't go away when I go away. I want that knowledge to be out there to as many people as possible.
Fantastic. You've just become memorialized in a podcast. So I think this is one little check mark there.
Yeah. And I would say even before the podcast, you've done a pretty great job with that, Charla.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, Emily.
Emily, can you give us some ideas about things that you might be doing to draw women in to either your workplace specifically or into the field?
I don't know that it's something proactively that we're looking to draw women in, but I think, like Charla said, I think it's important for women to see other women in those roles and doing it. It might be something they don't consider until you see a woman active in that role. And our training also has a big influence. The last Raider training that we delivered in Massachusetts in person was led by two of our PSD's expert building scientists, Cindy Zeiss and Jen Blankhorn, who are both women. And I think that certainly has an impact. As far as hiring people at our company, what we do is really try to cast the biggest net we can and making sure that we're looking in different areas to find people to get women and just more diversity in general. The more diverse of a team that we can create, the stronger we are, I think.
Absolutely. There was an inaugural class of ResNed recognizing women pioneers in the HERS industry. I'll put a link to that blog post in the show notes. For those of you that are listening, you can go to those notes and learn about that. I'm just going to read off some of the names of the people and jump down the list. And if you have any particular relationship or story or something to tell, please feel free to do that. First one on the list, maybe because it's alphabetic order, is Sandra Adamatis, who's president-elect of the Appraisal Institute. Do either of you know Sandra?
I do. She's also serves on the ResNet Board of Directors now with me, which I'm super excited to have her on the board. I know she's done a ton of work with realtors and getting ResNet awareness in that industry. And I remember her at one of, just like thinking of women that have been in this industry for a while, I think she spoke at one of my first ResNet conferences.
That's interesting. Did that have impact on you?
I don't know. She tends to be inspiring and well-spoken. So
anyway, right.
Let's give her some credit. It might have.
How about Charlotte? Do you have any anecdotes regarding Sandra?
Well, I've seen Sandra at the ResNet conferences, of course. And then she did come out to Kansas City and spoke with a group of builders and realtors and talked about the HERS rating and how that works and how important it is, and having it in the MLS. She was, as Emily says, yeah, very well-spoken, very knowledgeable, and I think she made a great big impact. It was good for the builders and the realtors to hear someone from their own realm instead of just the tree hugger coming in and trying to push this down their throats. It was the real estate professional coming in and saying, hey, this is very important and this is why and this is how this helps your bottom line. And so I think she was very, very successful in that interaction that I saw her in.
Another one, a woman on the inaugural list here is Barb Yankee. And I'm imagining you both know Barb.
I do. Barb's been in this industry probably longer than me. She's been quite influential and very good at moving things forward and building a large, successful company that she's, and always being incredibly inclusive to everyone that she meets.
Yeah, I would second that. And Barb is actually probably the one on the list that did have an influence on encouraging me to stay in the industry. The first time I presented at ResNet, she moderated the session. Back then, members of the ResNet board would moderate sessions, and she was on the board at the time. And she just spoke to me after and encouraged me to stay in the industry and complimented me on my presentation. And I remember thinking, maybe I'll be on the ResNet board someday.
Cool. Wow. I'm going to throw one more out there. Gayathri Vijayakumar. I'm sure you both know Gayathri.
Yes, I've served with Gayathri on different standards development boards. I'm a chair of Standards Development Committee 200, which is the Training and Education Committee for ResNet. And she and I have worked together on several projects with ResNet standards. And she is another person. She's someone that I would not hesitate going to with any question or any dilemma or anything, because she is so even-keeled and so intelligent, and she knows exactly what she's talking about. She's very easy to work with, and she hears you. She's not just thinking about the next thing to say. She's actually listening. So I really, really like her. And she's been an influence on me in terms of sticking it out and continuing to volunteer for things and work on these and understand the significance of being able to be involved in order to make changes, in order to move things the direction you want them to go. You have to be involved and you have to keep working. She worked so hard that I couldn't stop and leave her sitting there working.
I know from work on Standard Committee at the time that I was doing that, is she is so well organized It just moves like clockwork. Just incredible.
Other than agreeing with all of those things, yeah, she is incredibly productive, I would say, is the one thing that really stands out for me with Gayathri and Sharp, and grateful for all of her contributions with, I remember when she first got involved in the multifamily guidelines, which then became standards, and her ability to just drive things forward. And she's got a great sense of humor.
In closing, we're going to wrap up here, and I'd like you to spend a couple minutes and tell us, what advice would you give to women looking to join this industry? I'll start with Charlotte, back to Charlotte again.
I would encourage any woman to join this industry and become part of it. The advice I would give is to trust yourself, never stop learning, find that spark of what really interests you, and just go for it. Some of the women that I've worked with, when they first get out in the field, they're very nervous, and they say they want to make sure that they are exuding confidence and that they are not going to be put down. They're a little worried about things like that. And I just tell them, hey, you don't have to be the expert for everything, but just remember, you know more about the subject than anybody else out there. You already know more than anybody else. And it's okay to say, hey, that's a good question. I'm going to have to look that up and I'll get back with you. So just keep that as your byline and feel free to forge forward and just keep learning. Just keep learning and keep growing. And this is one of the best industries, in my opinion, to be involved in, especially in this time of our world.
Thank you. Emily, can I get a reflection from you on that topic?
Yeah, I guess I would say if you're considering it, do it. We need you. You belong here. I think Charlotte touched on this. Don't feel like you need to know everything or be an expert to get involved in something. One thing that's helped me in my 20 years in this industry is learning to be comfortable getting outside my comfort zone. And it's a necessary thing for growth, but it's a good thing to remind myself, particularly if you don't show up presenting as the normal or typical person in a given field. And this is maybe not just for women, but for all people, something that I've had to remind myself as a working mom of three: get good support. Don't feel like you need to do everything, and take care of yourself, whatever it is you're pursuing. And please join this industry.
And please look up my guest today, as well as the others that you'll see in the link. Quite a slate of individuals. And I know many of them, but not all of them. And I'd like to get to know more. And I think you've done a great job conveying this conversation, moving things forward.
I guess I'd like to say that this industry is one that I feel is especially good for women to get into. Women tend to be very detail-oriented and open-minded and forward-looking. Not to leave out the men, because I know a lot of detail-oriented, forward-minded, and outward-looking men. But I definitely encourage women to become involved in building science. And I appreciate the opportunity to share those thoughts.
Thank you very much. And a final thought, Emily.
Yeah, to Charlotte's point, we need all brains. And I would say that it's not often I think of myself as a woman in the industry, but more just another person in the industry. And we need more persons in the industry. I guess I would just say, I don't feel like at this point in time, everyone has a different story, that it is a particularly challenging industry for women right now. And I respect you, Bill and Charlotte, a great deal. And it's just been an honor to share this time with you.
Oh, thank you for doing this. I respect you two, both very highly regarded and esteemed individuals, have done a lot and have been around a long time and stuck with it. So a lot of credit to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Res Talk podcast. And we'll be back at you again next time. Take care. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Res Talk podcast. If you're a pro in the building market, surf on over to resnet.us/professional to learn more or to join the email list. You can also find ResNet on Twitter or Facebook. A quote for today by Estee Lauder: I never dreamed about success. I worked for it. If you're interested in feeding back to ResNet on what you heard here, or would like to hear a new topic covered, or just have a general question, please send an email to info@resnet.us. If you've not subscribed, please do so. And as always, thank you for listening to Res Talk. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Res Talk podcast. This podcast is hosted by Bill Spohn, produced by William P. Spohn, LLC, and is a production of ResNet, the Residential Energy Services Network. The best way to listen to this podcast is to subscribe on an iPhone using the podcast app or on an Android device by downloading the Stitcher app and searching for Res Talk. We would appreciate a review on iTunes or on the podcast app. This will help others find the show. We look forward to talking again soon on Res Talk.